Thank you very much, Mr. Kester. Several years ago, a minister that was in United at that time, Brian Orchard, gave a series of sermons on Paul and the Jews, on Paul and the Gnostics, and I don't remember, there were like three or four of them. And they impressed me. They were quite good sermons, I thought. And I got thinking about the Apostle Paul. And Paul is used by most Protestants, if not all, denominations to demonstrate that the law is done away with. It was nailed to the cross. Is this a true statement? Many believe that it is true. Today I want to look at Scripture to show what Paul really thought. Brief bio, and I'm kind of like speaking to the choir. Paul was a Roman citizen by birth. He was born in Tarsus. His name was Saul. It was changed by Jesus Christ at conversion to Paul. He was a very zealous Jew. He was educated at the feet of Gamaliel. Very intelligent, very well educated, wrote things that even at the time were hard to be understood. Today I want to look at Paul's writings and teachings. The title, for people that like a title, I'm going to copy part of Brian Orchard's titles, but I'm entitling this Paul and the Commandments of God. Let's look first at the scripture that the Protestants use, and that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 13 and 14. Am I right? Colossians 2. No wonder it didn't look right. Colossians 2. 13 and 14. And you, speaking to the Colossians, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And this is the scripture that many Protestant denominations use to teach that the law is done away with. We don't have to do the law. It was all done for us and nailed to the cross. I thought it was interesting today that the third song in the first set that Mr. Kester directed and the one just before I came out, both of them relate to what I'm talking about in the sermon. I thought that's pretty neat. Paul said early on, follow me as I follow Christ. We find that in 1 Corinthians 11, 1. It said it in a couple of places, but I'm going to use that one. 1 Corinthians 11, 1. Be you followers of me, even as I am of Christ. So Paul said, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. Let's look first at Christ's teaching on the Ten Commandments and see what he taught. We're going to go through the commandments 1 through 10. And take a quick look at what Christ taught about the commandments. And I know this is going to be review and probably redundant, but it shows what Paul, it's a preface to what Paul teaches as he's following Christ. First commandment, you shall have no other gods before the true God. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10. Then said Jesus unto him, this is during the temptation of Christ in the wilderness after he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, get you hence, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. One of the earliest recorded teachings of Christ. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 22 and verse 37. Matthew 22 and verse 37. And Jesus said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. Matthew 22, verse 37. The second commandment, you shall not worship images or idols. Let's look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 24. John 4 and verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Also in Revelation chapter 2, Christ's words concerning the second commandment. Revelation 2 and verses 14 and 20. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14. But I have a few things against you, because you have there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. Over in verse 20, talking to the church at Thyatira, notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because you suffered that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Commandment number 3, do not take God's name in vain. Let's start with that one in Matthew 12. Matthew 12 and verse 31. Matthew 12 and verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto man, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto man. And over a few pages, Matthew chapter 15, verses 19 and 20. Matthew chapter 15, verses 19 and 20. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. And there are a lot more references throughout the Gospels, way more than you could remotely cover, and I thought I had way more than I was going to get done with anyway, so I just picked a couple for each one of these. The third commandment. Do not take God's name in vain. And that also is in Matthew 12, verse 31. It's the same scripture we used before, I think. Nope, I did that. I'm done with that. Fourth commandment, keep the Sabbath holy. Matthew 12, still in 12, different verses, 11 and 12. And he said unto him, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much more then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. And he was talking about healing. And he said unto the man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole as the other. So it showed that it's okay to do well on the Sabbath day, but it was teaching that you should keep the Sabbath day holy, just explaining some of the nuances. Matthew 24 and verse 20. Matthew 24 and verse 20. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Talking about the second coming and a lot of the things that are going to happen before that. And some of the things that we've looked at today that have a bearing on what's coming down the road. If it were not that the Sabbath was still going to be enforced in the last days, why would he say that? It doesn't make any sense to say, pray that your flight in the last days be not on the Sabbath day. Mark chapter 2, verse 27. I noticed when going through this, there seemed to be a lot more scriptures that Christ referred to and Paul. The Sabbath day had a big block. And thou shalt not commit adultery. Had a big block. I did some other research during the week. And I went through Proverbs and started picking out Proverbs that were related to the Ten Commandments. And by far the biggest number in the Proverbs are on the Sabbath day and adultery. And adultery is huge in the Proverbs. Proverbs. Mark chapter 2 and verse 27. Mark chapter 2 and verse 27. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath day. Luke chapter 6. I know we've all heard these scriptures before, but I don't remember ever hearing them all put together in a row. Luke chapter 6, verses 5 and 9. Luke chapter 6, verse 5. And he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Like Bryant said, I've been around quite a long time. I don't think I've been in church as long as he. I think it was 67 when I was baptized, but I started tithing and hearing Mr. Armstrong. I think I heard Mr. Armstrong Memorial Day weekend of 1960, the first time I heard him. And I come back here, and my wife and I was working on a race car out in the garage because it was racing time when I got back from California, and lo and behold, WWBA Wheeling, West Virginia had Herbert Armstrong on the radio. Whoa, that's the same guy we heard in California. And it was, a month or two afterward. I ran down the house to call in. You better turn the radio on. I said, this guy we talked about, listened to in California, coming up the road, is here, out here too. It was pretty exciting time. Luke 6, starting in verse 5. Luke chapter 6. Oh, I just read that. Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Verse 9. And then Jesus said unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? To save life or destroy it? I had a note here about verse 10. Nope, I don't think that's it. Okay. The fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother. back to Matthew 15 and verse 4. Matthew 15 and verse 4. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. He that curses father or mother, let him die the death. Pretty serious penalty. Matthew 15. Verses 19 and 20. Matthew 15, verses 19 and 20. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemy. So murders is also listed in that particular scripture, as are several others. Matthew 19, verse 18. Matthew 19, in verse 18. I'm going to back up to 17 and 16. Behold, one came unto him and said, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Sort of looking for salvation by works, if you want to look at it that way. And Christ said unto him, why called you me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, which? And Jesus said, you shall do no murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. They kind of expanded that basic commandment. Commandment number 7, shall not commit adultery. Matthew 5. I should have had to put a marker there because we keep going back there. Matthew 5, verses 27 and 28. Matthew 5, 27 and 28. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, you shall not commit adultery. Verse 28. But I say unto you that whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. If your right hand offend you, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is profitable for you that one of your members should perish, and not that your whole body should be cast into Gehenna fire. And if your right hand offends you, cut it off and cast it from you, for it is profitable for you that one of your members should perish, and not that your whole body should be cast into hell. Verse 31, it has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery. And there are many, many, many more scriptures on adultery. Commandment number 8. You shall not steal. Matthew 19. Matthew 19. We'll look at verse 18. Matthew 19, verse 18. Back to the scripture we quoted before, and the man asked Christ, which? Christ answered, you shall do no murder, you shall not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal or bear witness, false witness. Back to Matthew 15, verses 19 and 20. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, and blasphemy. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2. Still focusing on Christ's teaching throughout the scripture, especially in the New Testament. Revelation 2 and verse 2. I know your works, that you labor, and your patience, and how you have cannot bear them which are evil, and that you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. So even up into Revelation and talking about people that claim to be somebody important. And it shows that the church of that time tested them and found them to be liars. Commandment number 10, no coveting. Matthew 6 and verse 25. Back to Matthew 6 and verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, nor what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Mark chapter 7. Pick it up in verse 22. Mark chapter 7. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, go your way, and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed. Nope, I'm in Luke. Sorry about that. Luke 7. I know it didn't sound right, but that's what you do when you monkey around without your glasses. Mark chapter 7. Mark 7, verses 22 and 23. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, and murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All of these evil things come from within and defile the man. That covers the Ten Commandments from Christ's perspective. Christ said in John 15:10, we won't necessarily turn there, but I have kept my Father's commandments. Of course, he couldn't lie, so that has to be true. We also need to keep the Father's commandments and teach them to be like Christ. We need to teach them in our families, both formally and informally. We need to teach them in our communities and circle of friends by example and sometimes by word. Yesterday, I picked the paper up, and a neighbor and a friend of ours, a customer of my garage years ago, had passed away. I get the paper a day late, and his funeral was, viewing was 12 to 1, and then the funeral service after it. I put on a pair of slacks and a white shirt and a black tie, short sleeve shirt, it was hot. I went over to the funeral, and they had quite a line of people that were standing there waiting to talk to the family. And some other neighbors, common neighbors, were sitting in the aisle, so I went in and sat down, said hi to them. He looked over at me in my white shirt, my black tie, and he said, how you doing, Reverend? I said, Holy and Reverend is his name, not mine. He said, I get the message. You know, it's just a simple exchange, but it's something that people do. You know, I've been called Reverend more than once, and I normally don't think fast enough to correct it. You know, but I did happen to do that yesterday. Let's take a look now at what Paul taught and see if he followed Christ as he said, follow me as I follow Christ. Let's begin same place we did with the first commandment, no other gods. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts 17, verses 24 and 27. Acts 17, verses 24 and 27. Acts 17, verse 24. I know it's in here somewhere, so I can't get the right page. 24. And God, that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing that he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell upon the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Acts 24. Verse 14, Paul's teaching on the first commandment. Acts 24 and verse 14. But this I confess unto you, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Galatians 4, verse 8. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 8. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature were no gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, wherein you desire again to be in bondage? One more on the first commandment by Paul. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, speaking of the second coming, whom he has raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Or is delivering us, probably more correct English. Second commandment, you shall not worship images or idols. Back in Acts 15, verse 20. Acts 15 and verse 20. But that we write unto them, that they abstain from pollution of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. Talking about idols. Acts 17, verse 16. Acts 17, verse 16. Verse 16 of Acts 17. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him, and he saw that the whole city wholly given to idolatry. Verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too religious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temple made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing that he gives to all life and breath and all things. One more on that commandment, Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 5. For you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And nails it right on the head. No idol worship. Verse 3. Do not take God's name in vain. Romans chapter 3. Back to Romans 3. Verses 9 and 14. Romans chapter 3 and verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No. Not in any wise, but we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. And that there is none that understands, there is none that seeks after God. Verse 14. Go on to talk about these individuals whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8 states, but now you also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Last night when John sent out the email with the note on Andy Buchholz, he quoted James 5 and verse 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another. I've got a fault that I felt pressed upon to confess to you today and to ask for each and every one of you to pray for me. I've been around the church, like Dr. Lambert said, and from the 6 days. And I've gotten a pretty good handle on taking God's name in vain. What I don't have a good handle on is filthy communication out of my mouth. Working in construction and no excuses, I just haven't got a handle on it. I'm still struggling with it and I'm determined to overcome it. But I need your help. I need your prayers that I can put that thing behind me, get it off of my back and go on to something else. I really, really would appreciate it. Fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Paul doesn't speak as much directly to that, but he does. So let's look in Acts 17 and verse 2. Acts 17 and verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scripture. Paul kept the Sabbath day. Verse 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach to you is Christ. So Paul kept the Sabbath day, and he taught on the Sabbath day regularly. Acts 18 and verse 4. Acts 18 and verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So Paul was very convincing in his argument. Ephesians 4, verse 28. Ephesians 4 and verse 28. Paul speaking, let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if you would not work, neither should you eat. This might not at first glance appear to have much to do with the Sabbath day, but part of the Sabbath commandment given in the Old Testament says, 6 days shall you work. So he was advocating the working part of the Sabbath day, as well as showing that we should rest on the Sabbath day. Fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. Romans chapter 1, 29 and 30. Back up to 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil thing, and disobedient to parents. Disobedience to parents, you can't honor them. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long upon the earth. Colossians chapter 3. Two verses out of Colossians 3. Verse 6, beginning. For which things' sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. In verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. And you can pick up the newspaper any day and read numerous articles about that particular scripture being fulfilled today. Commandment number 6. See what Paul talks about that. You shall not murder. Romans 13, verse 9. Romans 13 and verse 9. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 5, 19 and 21. Galatians 5, chapter 5 and verses 19 through 21. Back up to verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and the such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, and for manslayers. And many other scriptures throughout the New Testament that back up what Paul is teaching. And just, it would be boring to death, and probably boring already for you guys to go through this, but it would have been more boring for it to even started down that path to all of them. No adultery. Romans 7, verse 3. Romans 7 and verse 3. Back up to verse 2 of Romans 7. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if, while her husband lives, and she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Romans 13, verse 9. Romans 13 and verse 9. Know this, that you shall not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And we read that on another part. Let's drop down to commandment number 8, no stealing. Romans 13:9. Did we just do that? Oh, we did it on no adultery. Okay, we'll skip that one. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 10. I knew it looked very familiar. 1 Corinthians 6 in verse 10. We'll pick up a couple on stealing. 1 Corinthians 6 in verse 10. Nor thieves. Back up to verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, or adulterers, or effeminate, or abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So that scripture covers several of the commandments. One last scripture on that. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. So it's a complete reversal. Don't steal, but work, earn, so that you can give away. One thing I was thinking about on the commandment to not murder. In the Old Testament, and I forgot to get it in the right place in my notes, but in the Old Testament, it was okay. If somebody killed you semi-accidentally, you could run to, or skilled, the killer could run to a city of refuge. And then it had to be proven that he did it on purpose and it wasn't an accident. If it was an accident, he had to live there a certain amount of time and it was okay. But if it was proven, they did an inquiry, and if it was proven that he did it on purpose, the people in the city of refuge had turned him loose to the avenger of blood, and he could be killed. Wasn't a free pass. But if you go from that to, which is over here, you know, it's okay to kill them if they killed you or your family or somebody, to kind of a neutral position. And then when Christ came along with his teachings, he went over here, you got to love him. You can't kill him. And you got to go, you know, first you couldn't kill him. And then you come over here and you got to love him, which is a major undertaking. But it's 180 degrees out of what was originally taught. But it's definitely what God wants us to achieve. It's not the easiest thing in the world. No lying. Romans chapter 13 and verse 9. We're going to get done on time. Romans chapter 13 and verse 9. I had my doubts when we started without skipping a bunch. Romans 13 and verse 9. And I think we just read that, so we're going to skip that. Galatians 1, chapter 19. Galatians 1, chapter 19. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now these things which I write to you, behold, before God, I lie not. So Paul not only taught not to lie, but he was obedient. He taught that he shouldn't do it, and he was obedient to that particular facet. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 9. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9. Verse 9 of Colossians 3. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. And I think we touched on that before. Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. As part of the body, we definitely cannot lie to one another. Brings back the Ananias and Sapphira that lied to the Holy Spirit. Going to Buffalo sometime back, I thought the Buffalo services were 1 o'clock, and I was in Rochester, and I called Mr. Lord at that time, a couple, 3 years ago, and I said, "What time are services?" He said, "I'm on my way. They start at 11, and I'm in Rochester, and he's headed down the road." So I had a couple other minor issues, but it finally got resolved and got dressed and got headed down the road, and I have a heavy foot, and I have my wife's new Volkswagen, or new to us, but I knew I had to hurry. So anytime there was a big, long, straight stretch of interstate, I went up above 100, 105, and I got to church, and I said to somebody, I said, "Mr. Lord said he couldn't figure out how I got there so fast." I said, "Well, I was just telling Marty Turkowitz after services that I found out one thing about my wife's Volkswagen. Once you get over 105, it doesn't accelerate very fast." And Marty gave me, oh boy, did he give me what for? For breaking the speed limit, give me a riot act on all the laws. We were sitting there eating lunch, and I related that story to Mr. Lord, and he said, "You didn't really go 105. "Yes, I did." I said, "Haven't you heard of Ananias and Sapphira? I wouldn't dare lie to you. You know, it's worse than going 105. You can get killed for lying to the ministry." Ephesians 4:25, we did that one, I think. Timothy chapter 1. In verse 2, Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. "But to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord." That might be Titus. That doesn't seem to fit with lying. Getting late enough, we'll skip that. No coveting. Romans 7 and verse 7. We're getting right down to the end. This is the last of the commandments that Paul taught. Romans 7 and verse 7. "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid," or as one translation has it, "may it never be. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead." 1 Corinthians 5:11. "But I have written unto you not to keep company with a man that is called a brother, be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such a one, not to eat." So we shouldn't even eat with a brother. Tough call sometimes. Have to realize who's a brother and who isn't. If somebody is out in the world and is a good friend, is he a brother? Sort of, but I think it means spiritual brother. Someone in the church that's trying to walk the same walk that you are walking. And if they're not trying to be obedient, and they're just living their life and doing whatever they need to do or think they need to do, we shouldn't eat with them. Not that we shouldn't after, and that's pretty clear in 1 Corinthians 5, if they straighten their act up and they repent and they're welcome back to the church, then it's a whole different thing. Colossians chapter 5 and verse 5. couple more scriptures. We're still getting done early. Colossians chapter 5 and verse 5. Can't be. There's no chapter 5 in Colossians. 4 verse 5? Nope, I got that one. We're going to skip that one too. In concluding scripture, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. I have to do that at least once per message. Somehow get the wrong scripture, number, book, or something written down. 1 Corinthians 4, starting verse 16. Wherefore, I beseech you, brethren, be followers of me. For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere and in every church. So Paul taught everywhere. He taught in every church the ways of Jesus Christ. We reviewed through the Ten Commandments as taught by Jesus Christ and by Paul today. I know it's long, but the evidence of Scripture is clear. Jesus Christ taught and kept the Ten Commandments. Paul followed Jesus Christ, as he said. Paul taught the law of God, and he taught the Ten Commandments. I was going to have you write something down, but I made it up. I wrote it on a paper and copied it, and Mr. Holloway is going to print it out. It's something that I'd like to have you all look at, think about between now and the Feast of Tabernacles. Meditate on it as we approach the Feast of Trumpets, picturing Christ's return and on toward Feast of Tabernacles. The reason, and this is what I have written on the paper, the reason why we as Christians are to study and apply these Ten Commandments, along with the statutes and the judgments, to live our lives by them. The reason is to be an example to the rest of the world of how God would live if he were a man.